Well, one of the things that I was very thankful for as I was talking with the elders that I'd be able to finish out this series that I started. And if you remember, it's the series entitled I was so into the worship today. Do you ever sense that when you're in a service like this, that you know God's here, He's already speaking, He's already moving, He's already touching? Don't you feel ministered to already? Remember what it was like to live this week, the way this week went? You kind of feel like, ew, like this vileness, this heaviness, this evil. But now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is peace, right? And sometimes I feel like the sermon, though needed, sure, ministry is already happening. So it's rediscovering Christ as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And so, I don't know if you recognize it, but that was A.B. Simpson's hymn that we sang before. Thank you, Steve and Paul. It was a good reminder. And that phrase, even in, I think it's, Fanny Crosby, she used this phrase, and I loved it. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, an atonement for sin. And that sin affects our body. And so I'm going to speak to you today about Christ, our healer. We looked at Savior, right? And recognizing that we cannot save ourselves, we needed a Savior. Sanctifier, we can't sanctify ourselves. We needed one to do that for us. It's the same with healing. We cannot heal ourselves. But we're going to look at that because there are things that we do that heal ourselves. Here, I want to say my first line to you in this. Our God is the healing God. Our God is a healing God. His very name, Jehovah Rapha, defines who He is. Therefore, He does who He is, which is heal. That's what He does. Healing comes from the atoning work of Jesus Christ. His healing comes from His heart, His hands, His power, and His love. That's where healing comes from. We know this from the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see this supernatural power demonstrated with our patriarchs, our early fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their spouses who couldn't have any children required divine healing. There was no natural way they would be healed. They needed His touch, and they got it. And so in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we saw, if you look at it, healing exploded on Palestine. I want us to understand that. That was an explosion of healing. Blindness, deafness, fevers, demonized, and even dead people were raised from the dead. No disease can stand against Jesus. No disease. God healed in the early church. I was reading this week, Acts 19:11. God did extraordinarily miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Can you imagine? Here's an apron. Boom. Psh, healed. Whoa. How about a paradigm shift for that one? Well, how about this? Ellen and I were listening to a podcast on the way to do the wedding in Vermont. And I was hearing about things that were happening in Franklin, Tennessee, how God was doing extraordinary healings. And the pastor there was telling a story about a young man that he had been praying with, anxiety and depression, suicidal thoughts. God just healed his soul. And while they were praying and he was being healed in the process, that day they were praying, he started weeping and he said, whatever his name was, I forget at the time, John, why are you weeping? He goes, all the cuts on my arms, all the cutting that I did, they're gone. Then the pastor proceeded to say whenever he speaks in conferences or on radio, they'll get emails to their churches, while you were speaking, my cuts disappeared. Is that no different than an apron touching somebody? Wow, our God is a healing God in our time as well. But the greatest miracle of all is a miracle of salvation. That is. Simpson, in his writing, said that it takes greater power to change this than it does raise from the dead. So raising the dead does happen. A very good friend of mine said, Pete, I just saw the first resurrection from the dead in Africa. I go, yep. Finally, someone I trust, you know, that has seen it. But the greatest is the miracle of salvation. God does all. Emotional healing, volitional healing, that's your will, mental healing, relational healing. Doug Bannister, another pastor in Tennessee, his story was such that the church exploded. A lot of things were happening. He got very sick. Doctor, visit after doctor, no healing. Went to the elders to pray. There was no healing. And it just continued to be a problem. Then one day one of the elders came to him and said, "Hey, I had this dream. It was three people in this dream, you know, and I don't know what it means." And Doug said, "I think I know what it means." And he went to speak to each of those people. After he talked to the third person, his healing left. God does relational healing. Amazing. He's a wonderful God. But there is a day that's coming. Let's look at the future before I jump in this passage in Matthew. John reminds us of Revelation 21:4. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. That includes this week, tears. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when there will be no more sickness. It will be gone. And I look forward to that. Old Testament, New Testament, early church, church yesterday. Yes, church today. What about today? Let's talk about divine healing. A.B. Simpson, our founder, was seeing tremendous healings. But he lived in the tension when God does not heal, because he lost two children, to sickness. But he saw many miracles. So we learn to live in the tension of living in the pain, and the grace is sufficient, we'll look at, but living in the miracle that only God can do. And we'll take a look at this, because there are natural ways that God does heal. I've seen this over and over again. Elle and I do Juice Plus, it's a vitamin supplement, for 12 years now. I have less colds than I ever had. But that's natural healing. Taking care of your body, eating, exercising, all these things. And eating good sourdough bread. But that's natural. What we're going to look at is divine healing. When God steps in. Because divine healing is the supernatural demonstration of the power of God to change the properties of our body that we cannot do in the natural means. He has to step in and breathe life. Just as he breathed life in Adam, he breathes life in that area that is killing us. And I just had shoulder surgery. And I remember talking to the doctor. He said, he was in his 70s. He said, "It's amazing since I started school to where we are now, what we know about the blood and what we can do naturally to help ourselves become healthier." I thought that was an interesting statement. But supernatural healing is very different than self-care and medicine and science that are all interesting. Okay, let's look at the ministry of Jesus. Matthew 8, verses 1 to 17. Matthew 8, 1 to 17. Because of the explosion, Matthew focuses on three healings here, but he could have gone on for a while, and you'll see why, because he used the word many. But Matthew 8, 1 to 17, Jesus' ministry here. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Very important here. When we love in the healing ministry, it's always a win. Nobody touched lepers back then. So Jesus is demonstrating right away, it's about love. And out of that, the willing and can you heal or willing? Those come into play. But first, he touched love. So in prayer ministry, and at the end of the service, I'm going to offer at the end of the benediction for you to come if you'd like prayer for healing. But when I was telling the elders, when we love, it's always a win-win, whether God heals or not. So Jesus is demonstrating love. Okay, that was a freebie. I didn't plan that. All right. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priests and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, terribly tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Isn't that great to hear that? I will come and I will heal him. What a statement, right? Like Jesus knew he could heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man of under authority and soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those that were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Last one here. When Jesus came to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever, and he went and touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and waited on him. Now when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. This happened so that what was spoken through the Isaiah the prophet would be fulfilled. He himself took our illnesses and carried away our diseases. I want to answer two questions today, and the two questions are, what is divine healing and what is not divine healing? I want to answer those two questions because there's no question that sickness is prevalent in America today. In 2024, there were over 605 deaths from cancer. Over 600,000 deaths from cancer. Yes, we have a red dye problem in our diet. RFK is addressing that. But we have red blood that covers every disease. And I believe the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a God, Jesus, who saves us from our sins, but he equally saves us from our sicknesses. And he heals. But I've also known the grace that sustains me when I don't see healing. I've seen both. We just read three divine stories, right? Three wonderful divine healing stories. Leprosy, someone paralyzed, Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. Notice that after all that happened, here's Matthew going, this is what Isaiah said that Jesus would do. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So he's going back in time, recognizing that this is the one that was told that would come, that would bear our diseases. Very important. This is in reference to not just sin for salvation, but for healing for our body. This is all in the text. It wasn't just a spiritual reality for spiritual conversion. It was a present reality for our physical body. Atonement for sin and sickness. He took up our infirmities. That's a physical reference in a literal person. I love this story of the first one. This man sounds so polite, so humble. A large crowd is following, right? It's a lot of people. He doesn't presume, he doesn't demand, but he doesn't stay back either. He steps up and he asks the question, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. Do you hear what he's saying? I know you have the power because I've been watching you, but if you're willing with me, right? Willing and can, two words. One is about power, one is about heart. He was asking about the heart. Are you willing? It's a great question. Jesus, as we saw, demonstrated love right away. He let the man know, I love you, by his touch. He broke a barrier. And so when he did this, he didn't turn away. He spoke directly to him. He answered the question directly. I love this. I am willing, which he said with compassion because he's touching him, saying, I am willing. There's a connection here between two human beings. Therefore, divine healing is a demonstration of the love of God in the will of God. And when those two marry, it's a wonderful world to live in. When the love of God and the will of God merge in those moments, whether there's healing or not, in the love and will of God. A.B. Simpson, our founder, as I began to restudy, I told you this summer, I was reading about his life again, the fourth book I've read, and I was like, Lord, I want to walk in the streams in which you taught him. And so I was just been reading, and he talked about the will of God. He said, when you seek the will of God in these times, they're difficult, they're stretching. When you seek the Lord, Lord, is this the time that you want to heal me? And he says, you should take the time to yield that. What he said is that if you believe in your time of prayer with the Lord that you have work to be done still, then believe God for your divine healing. But he said, if you believe that maybe this is the time, from the time you've taken time to seek his will, for your time to go, yield to it, and go home. That's what he was teaching. But he said, if you believe that God has had you more work to do, go. Now, when you read that, I was thinking about that, and I thought about King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. Remember his story? Isaiah is a prophet, Hezekiah is the king. Assyrians have come, and when they lay siege to a city, that didn't happen within a week. Our perspective of war is it's so short sometimes or long, but here was a siege that took a couple years. And so Isaiah is sent to Hezekiah to tell him he will not recover from this sickness. And so imagine that. That's like the doctor that says to you, the C word, right? Cancer. Boom, lights out, pack up, curtains close, it's closing time. But Isaiah is walking out. We know that at that point, Hezekiah was weeping bitterly, prayed to God. God spoke to Isaiah, said, go on back. I'm going to extend his life. Like that. What a response. In other words, he heard it, but he sought the will of God, heard from the Lord. Isaiah spoke to him. And then, I can't say this for sure, but I wonder if it was, listen closely, I wonder if it was in his heart. We're in a siege here of the Assyrians. I want to make sure my people are okay, and I want to live to see it, right? He's healed, and then the angel of death came, which in 185,000 Assyrians die in one night. And so I wonder if that's part of, like, he still had work to be done. He believed it, he trusted the Lord, and God heard his prayer. I remember, you know, with my little surgery on lipoma on my shoulder, some people said to me, Pete, why didn't you ask for prayer? I just felt like it was procedural. I just felt like the doctors were pretty accurate. They think it was lipoma, you know, and I did ask for prayer, but I remember a week later, I was on the phone before the day before my checkup. I was just kind of doing this, just to see how it was doing, and I went, whoa, it's big, you know? I went, did it come back? And I'm feeling it and talking to one of my clients, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted right now. And we talked a little more, got up, and I called the doctor, and he said, well, we'll check it out tomorrow. It was fine. It was just that Ellen had added a little more cotton this time to cushion it. The nurse was doing her job, but the patient was not doing his job. Trust the Lord! You know. But it was also the healing of the juices of the natural ways that the body responds to take care of that surgery, right? But here's what I want to say to you. I had this moment of like, am I dealing with something really serious? The lab results, I didn't get back till the next day. I didn't feel any anxiety prior to that. I felt anxiety right then. Am I dealing with something really? And I said to the Lord, I'm going to be 60 this month, Lord. I feel like I got 25 more years left in me. If you want to keep me here, I'll run with you. It was fine. The Lord is good. What is divine healing? He's willing. He has a willing heart. So when I pray from the willing heart of God. I don't pray towards the willing heart of God until he says no. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord is willing. I pray from the willing heart of God until he says no. I don't pray towards the willing heart. I try to operate within the willingness of God because I know he can. Does that make sense? I know that may be something you have to process. Second healing, Jesus is moving along. There's few occasions in healing stories where people, or Jesus, was amazed by their response. And the centurion, remember, let me just say it again, said, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority and soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes." And Jesus is astounded. "I have not found faith. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." That's astounding reflection on the nation of Israel, who grew up with histories of God's healing. So divine healing at its core is a recognition also that Jesus has authority to heal diseases, that he is greater than our sicknesses. And divine healing then is the supernatural power of God that infuses into our human body, that changes the properties and chemistries to do the things that we cannot do for ourselves. He does. There are natural things we can do, but it goes beyond that. Divine healing takes a divine Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We need Christ as Savior. We cannot sanctify ourselves. We need a sanctifier. We cannot heal ourselves. Natural. We need a divine healer. He steps in. He has the authority to do this. And so along the way, I've gotten caught in the trap that sometimes, you know, Jesus was astounded by his faith. His faith was so sky high, we wonder, did his faith heal him? That's having faith in faith, not faith in the object of our faith. Do you see that? So be careful of faith healers and faith ministries. They put a lot of emphasis on faith at the exclusion of the person, the object of our faith. So be very careful with that. And we'll take a look at this in a moment. So Jesus has authority to heal. What does that have to do with diseases? When we break spiritual laws that God has established for our good, we open the door to things that can create some unhealthiness in our life. And so we see this throughout the scriptures. We see this in life. And so when I pray for people, I'm praying in the authority of Christ, with Christ's authority, with Jesus in partnership with him, praying for people's healing, praying for people's healing. And so it's not the quantity of prayer that authorizes me, right? James said, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so I've seen this in 36 years of ministry. People will call all kinds of churches and prayer groups as if the quantity of prayer is of greater measure. Takes one. The prayer of a righteous person. Boom. And so Jesus has authority. The third healing is a wonderful story. Peter's mother-in-law. I love this picture. Why? Because Jesus is traveling with his team and it was time to go home. And where's Jesus going? He's going to Peter's home. Leaders spend time with leaders. You know, and I love when I'm invited to my leaders' houses. I've always enjoyed that, going to Fred's. As Ellen knows, I've gone many times, my mentor. And when they come over my house, one of the challenges of being an hour and a half away from you is I want to have the elders over and their spouses and thank them. And maybe we'll get a chance to do that in these next few weeks. I don't know. But here, Jesus is going in the house. And we know this was a woman of great hospitality because they went to her house. And so she wanted to serve them, but she wasn't able to. And we know that a fever can knock you out. We've all had fevers, right? Aren't they? These little viruses can put you horizontal, right? One of my favorite Christian entertainers was Carmen. Do you ever remember Carmen? Some of you remember Carmen? He does a reenactment of the story because when Jesus comes to Peter's house, his mother-in-law is lying sick in bed. But before I tell you the funny line that I thought was funny, Matthew again is pointing something very important here. In the first two stories of healing, the sick people come to him. In this story, Jesus is going to the sick. The first two people asked for healing. Peter's mother-in-law did not ask. The first two people came to Jesus. Jesus came to this person, Peter's mother-in-law. And this is where Carmen, in tongue-in-cheek, says, Peter says, "A blessing I did not ask for." Mother-in-laws, you put up with us son-in-laws too, so God has given you grace for us. But I always thought that was a great line. But I love this picture. Why? Sometimes God shows his love and his power to heal by coming to us at our lowest moment, when we recognize it's not by any effort on our part. I don't see faith anywhere in this story. Not that there was unfaith, just that he went over, he saw the mother-in-law, touched her, boom. That's grace. That's grace. So here's what I want us to see in God's divine healing. The first story, Jesus is willing. The second story, Jesus has the authority. The third story is sometimes Jesus comes to us at our lowest point, and we need the healing. Remember what Matthew said, he bore our illnesses. He does the work. Isaiah later says, by his stripes we are healed. To bore is to pierce with a turning and twisting movement of a tool. Wow. Is that not the crucifixion? In some measure? It also means makes one steadily, especially resistant. The crucifixion and the atoning of work of Jesus was resistant to sicknesses. Years ago, we faced a sickness that no medication worked, no natural way would work. They had to perform surgery 3 times, and each time it kept coming back. It was like a slow death that was coming. I threw up the most anemic, small, than a mustard seed prayer when the 4th time it came around and went in, and there was no spot. It was completely gone. Doctor had no reason. We knew. No natural way, no surgery this time. It was completely gone. It was divine healing. God stepped in. He came to us in our low point. Divine healing, what is it not? Let me just briefly walk you through this. Divine healing is not by natural means. In other words, God has decorated this an incredible planet with medicines that are built into the plant life. I mean, we're made from the earth, and so naturally there would be healing from the earth, right? And so we do see this, because I've always felt that a good salsa can heal any disease, you know? I love a good salsa. Thank you, Vanessa. I'm feeling healed already. But that's not divine healing. It's a healing, yes, but not divine healing. One of my students battled depression for years. He had terrible sleeping patterns. Depression, anxiety. Got a CPAP machine. And it changed everything for him. Got to sleep, depression left, and he's been a missionary now for close to 25 years in Europe. But that was a healing through natural science and so forth, and proper sleep. And we call it a healing, and it is, but it's not divine healing. Are you with me? You see? Divine healing is when Jesus changes the properties and chemistry, the body, the tissues, the muscles, and shrinks the cancer. One of the most amazing things, one of my mentors said, Pete, I was in Brazil praying for someone with a big mass. He said, in all the years of healing, I've never seen an immediate healing. He put his hand on it, and it just shrunk right in front of his face, off her face. I went, wow, I've not seen that one yet. Can I go with you next time you go down to Brazil? I want to see Jesus that way. What is healing not? So one of the healing stories is in Mark 5:34. Again, Jesus is looking for, he's got a willing heart, he's got supreme authority. But then he says this to the woman with the bleeding problem in Mark 5:34. He said, your faith has healed you. Now, it sure seems like with that statement, her faith, the source of her faith and the means of her faith was the measure in which healing came. The word faith here is an active voice. It's not passive. But Jesus spoke the healing, her faith accepted it. Jesus had authority over the disease, her faith received it from him. Be careful. If faith healed it, then there's power in her healing by faith. It's in Jesus. It's always been, always will. So he's not saying your faith healed you as the English we hear. She received it because of her faith. Now, there have been other people that didn't have faith. Lazarus had no faith in his resurrection when he was dead. It didn't look like the sisters, if you know the story, had faith. It doesn't look like there's anything, any faith that was there. If anything, Thomas said, hey, let's go to Jerusalem. We're all going to die, you know, and Jesus is on his way and heals Lazarus. There was not a lot of faith. And so he's a divine healer. Divine healing doesn't come by the quantity of prayer. I've mentioned that to you. I think there's a misconception. I've gotten caught in this trap is that we've said the statement, prayer is powerful. Prayer is not powerful. Prayer just puts us in connection with one who is powerful. It's prayer is this, you are powerful, God. And I pray in your name, the healing. And so when we pray, we don't put emphasis on our prayers. You ever think about what you're praying when you're praying for people who are sick? No, the emphasis is on put the focus on Jesus, not the disease. And so when we're thinking about the sickness and the disease, then it's somewhat, I think in some measure, that's like has power over us. Like, wow, this is a big one. Whoa, wait a minute. He's a divine healer. He has authority over that as well. So we get preoccupied with loving people well, touching the lepers, if you will, and bringing them through prayer together. This can be hard because sometimes we are preoccupied with the sickness. And so Jesus heals. We cannot save ourselves. Christ does the saving. We cannot sanctify ourselves. Christ does the sanctifying. We cannot heal ourselves. Naturally, we can, yes. But we cannot heal ourselves. Christ does the healing and divine healing. And so I love the willing heart of Jesus in this story. Let me bring some application. What about you? What are you facing? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it relational? I just dealt with a client this week that feels so brought so much trouble on his marriage, he felt like he had to live a worthy life to forgive himself, to get him out of that difficult marriage. Did you hear what I said? Like he felt like he had to live more worthily to get to a place where he could forgive himself even though he knew he was forgiven by God. You can't do that. And so I'm hoping he's feeling released from that. So where are you today? Maybe something physically that you need the Lord's touch. Have these stories inspired you? Not what I said, but the stories we just read. The Lord is willing. The Lord has authority. The Lord comes to you at times. Wouldn't that be amazing if some of you come after I give the benediction, I want to welcome you and we'll pray for you. The elders know, they're ready. But wouldn't that be something that we're praying for people here and then you're walking out and you get healed? Right? I was just aprons and handkerchiefs, you know, it's like, wow. Just some application here that I want to give to you. When you're facing a physical need that you know no remedy, science or medicine can heal you, submit to God, seek his will, and ask him, Lord, what's your heart in this matter? What are your thoughts? Speak to me through your word. Speak to my heart. Because physical sickness, when we have a physical sickness, Romans reminds us, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. And this is your act of spiritual worship to God. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get that? When you offer your body that's sick, you offer it to God saying, here I am. And then therefore, let me think not in the paradigms of this world. It's not only natural, I need the supernatural. Then the scriptures promise, then you'll know the perfect will of God, the good and pleasing will of God. And this is a beautiful promise in Romans. Secondly, ask yourself, is the sickness in my body something where he wants me to grow in grace? There are sometimes God does not heal. because he wants us to grow in grace. Do you ever notice how much more compassion you have for people when you're sick that some other people have had been sick? Remember COVID and all that? When I got COVID, I was like, well, I have compassion for people now that have COVID, you know? It just changed my perspective, right? Didn't it change yours? You know, I remember, like, I would get these terrible sinus infections. I remember, like, I'm not kidding, it's in my journals. I had 9 sinus infections in 2 years. And 8 of them happened before a ministry trip. That's when you know you're dealing with a spiritual battle. Not every physical sickness is of the enemy. Jesus did point that out in one of the women in the ministry. This woman has been under, you know, I felt like, man, oh man. So we got surgery and I'm fine. But I remember, sorry, hon, I remember Ellen going, oh, sinus and surgery, you're fine, you're fine. Then she got it and she went, okay, honey, now I understand. We cool? Are we still, are we good? Okay, okay. Phew. In other words, Paul prayed, right? Lord, remove this thorn. My grace is sufficient for you. You're going to learn things, Paul, about my grace that you cannot learn if I healed you. It requires you to fight through this to my grace, to live by grace against the enemy. Because Paul said the enemy came in. Thirdly, I would say is that it can be an opportunity to strengthen your faith. I know many stories where sicknesses remained, but the family unity was regained because of that. Dad got sick. People were like, okay, we need to make things right. And as a result of that, God did something wonderful. Do you see why sometimes he doesn't heal? And fourth, be willing to walk the pathway of repentance. Simpson talked about this, that this is a season in which you do some self-examination with the Lord. And this is why sometimes in prayer, I won't always do this. I'll ask, is there anything between you and the Lord that you need to make right before we pray? So finally, you may have need some physical healing. So Steve and worship team, why don't you come on up? I love this song, Waymaker. I really think it defines the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament, and it defines the ministry of Jesus in our time. You know, I'm grateful to have 3 more Sundays with you. Let's stand. Let's stand together before I pray. After the song, I'll close in benediction, but I want to invite you, if you'd like some prayer, again, the elders will be here. We'll take the time to pray for you. I just would ask that you would leave somewhat quietly so that we could pray. And so, yeah, I would appreciate that.